Good evening, Urbana. I am excited to be here with you tonight. In fact, with all 16,000 of my close friends now. And I bring you greetings from the Caribbean Fellowship of Evangelical Students. And I think it sounds like they're excited to be here with you tonight as well. This is awesome. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Which means that for us Christians, we have a reason for caring for creation. The earth is not ours, but God's. And because we love God, we care for what he's created. Genesis 1 tells us to fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 2 tells us that God put man in the garden to till it and keep it. And I'm told the same word that's used for keep there for us to keep the garden was what the Aaronic blessing said, the Lord bless you and keep you. So the same way God keeps us is how we're supposed to keep the earth. Now, this was startling to me, so I'm going to read it for you slowly. And I'll tell you up front, you go check out what the word says yourself. We care about the created world because God's Son came to save, hold your seats, and redeem all of creation, human and non-human alike. God's promised redemption encompasses both the human and non-human world. Isaiah's vision of heaven and a new earth included vineyards, wolves, lambs, lions. The Apostle Paul wrote about creation waiting to be freed from bondage. Colossians talks about Jesus Christ as the one through whom God reconciles all things to himself. To seek to protect and care for the creatures God has made is to witness to God's love for them and to acknowledge that they, with us, will share in God's new creation. God provided 20 acres of the most beautiful tropical rainforest with a cocoa, coffee, mango estate 22 years after he gave me a vision of a Caribbean ministry that would house a Christian nature study center. 22 years. 4 years ago, 6 years ago, God provided this land and I was ready to go take care of it. And my husband said no. Our God was a God of order, and he would provide the means for us to get there. I was invited to help develop a new graduate program teaching engineers how to create high-value businesses from their research that would help my country, Trinidad and Tobago, become a more diversified economy, less dependent on oil and gas for its resources. Trinidad has had a 100-year history of oil and now being a gas-based economy. We have an unapologetic mission of attaining developed nation status by the year 2020, which means if we have to protect the rich diversity of our ecological environment, it was not going to be at the expense of our ambitious industrial development agenda. Trinidad and Tobago is the most southerly of the Caribbean islands. Beautiful. It's slightly smaller than the state of Delaware. It's a birdwatcher's paradise and has the largest number of species of flora and fauna found in any one spot in the world. Trinidad also has oil refineries. We're the world's largest exporter of methanol. We have a steel plant. We're in the process of building an aluminum smelter to add to our renown of having 17 of the top 20 most polluting industries on the island. Depending on which study you read, our tiny bit of paradise has the second highest per capita level of greenhouse gas emissions in the world. My government will very quickly point out to you, however, that this is only 0.5% of the total global emissions, so it really doesn't matter. And before you get too smug with horror, you are complicit in our environmental sin. Trinidad and Tobago supplies 80% of the natural gas used here in the U.S. each of us here tonight is probably already compromised. Does the name Copenhagen ring a bell for anybody here? Just over a week ago, world leaders from every nation under the sun and 20,000 of their close advisors, governmental and non-governmental organizations, left Copenhagen. They had failed in their attempt to hammer out an agreement on climate change and the environment, an issue considered by many to be the defining issue of the 21st century. And I hear your immediate question. So what does that have to do with us tonight? What does that have to do with you as a professor on a university campus? I'm so glad you asked. Let me tell you. I'll answer the second question first. I know what you guys say about us professors. We're largely irrelevant. We do research nobody cares about, we write papers nobody reads, and we can't teach. The research and outreach that we do, however, informs national and international policy agendas, just like the Copenhagen deliberations. The informed, deliberate, careful Christian worldview, however, is too often absent because not enough of us have followed Jesus into this neighborhood. Each of us should care about this defining issue of climate change and the environment because it disproportionately affects the poorest, most vulnerable, and disenfranchised in our world who have no voice and had nothing to do with it in the first place. As 16,000 rational, thinking Christians placed strategically in institutions of higher education around the world, you and I are uniquely qualified, uniquely positioned to join Jesus in the neighborhood of our classrooms, labs, research centers, and our dorms, and leverage the truth claims of Jesus with our academic training in science, engineering, economics, law, accounting, management, you name it, to develop solutions for exactly, precisely these issues. I'm excited because God has spoken this week. He's speaking in this place, not the dome necessarily, but just a few miles west of here. The Francis Schaeffer Institute trains individuals to compassionately demonstrate and reasonably, logically, rationally defend the truth claims of Jesus Christ on all of life, which means there's no dichotomy between the sacred and the secular. There's no dichotomy between what we do on a Sunday or Thursday night in large group meetings and what we do in the classroom. I live with Jesus in the university neighborhood, integrating God's call to care for the environment into my profession as a Christian engineering academic. And the call is joyous, exciting, rewarding, frustrating, puzzling, frightening, and scary too. When God calls, he calls us first into a love relationship with himself. And then he expects obedience. Two scriptures tonight on my heart as I share my story. 1 Chronicles 12:32 says, "Men of Issachar, who understood the times, knew what Israel should do." Jeremiah 15:16 says, "When your word came, I ate them. They were my joy, my heart's delight, for I bear your name." Can you pray with me for a second? Father, you're in this place tonight. You speak through the winds, the waves, the snow, through trees, flowers, and birds. You speak through the voices of the thousands of the poor and dispossessed who are disproportionately affected by our lack of care for your creation. I ask you tonight, Lord, to speak in the stillness of this dome. By the power of your Spirit, silence all other voices but yours. And as your word comes tonight, may we who bear your name eat, respond with joy and delight. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. Amen. All right, before anybody rushes to a false conclusion about me, let me put it straight. I'm not a politician. I'm not an environmental scientist. I'm not a theologian. I have no political agenda. I'm not conservative. I'm not liberal. I'm not socialist. I'm not communist. No other is. And I won't be giving you any in-depth treatise tonight about the science behind climate change and the environment. We have wonderful workshops set up here, seminars being offered, some more tomorrow, and I'm strongly encouraging that you take advantage of them. I teach technology entrepreneurship. I teach engineers how to become capitalists, how to start businesses with their research. And I'm not your professor tonight, so you could relax. I'm not going to give you any quizzes, according to my daughter. At 5, she said, I'm not a doctor anyhow because I don't give injections. 4 years ago, my husband and I relocated to Trinidad, and I've had the privilege to share my faith and passion for the environment in my teaching and my research. In teaching, I set curricula, and I've been able to set curricula for all the engineering students on my campus who now do courses on industrial sustainability. In entrepreneurship, I ask students to conceive of opportunities being developed right now because of the environmental push, climate change, the opportunities for new businesses, new ways of making money. In terms of research, approximately one-third of my students have done their research incorporating environmental components, looking at triple bottom line issues, people, planet, profits, eco-environmental factors. This year, the Lord was gracious and provided help, and I was able to submit 7 research proposals, 2 of which have been funded. One of the 2 will design, prototype, build, commission 2 hybrid solar dryers for the cocoa industry in the Caribbean. They will replace the environmentally unfriendly diesel-powered dryers currently used in the fine cocoa industry in the Caribbean. 2 weeks ago, I registered as a cocoa farmer. I have no idea how God is going to use that as I follow him into the neighborhoods of the poor, dispossessed cocoa farmers of the Caribbean, but we'll see. I've had 2 rewarding experiences with conferences recently. Last year, with the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students, we had a wonderful international conference that looked at faith, climate change, and the environment in Jamaica. It was wonderful to meet with Christian researchers from around the world who looked at public policy and research and our social responsibility to inform the agenda with our Christian worldview. I met there a woman named Victoria. Victoria lives in Peru. For the last 3 years, they've not been able to plant anything because the rains still come, but they can't tell when the rains will come. And they've planted at the times they've traditionally planted, and the rains did not come at the right time. Okay. So I've talked a little bit about what we've been doing around the world. This year, in fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I was asked to develop a proposal for the government where I would train the most senior of our government officials in an executive development program. They were so excited about what I'd proposed for them. They shared it with their friends. And right now, some of the African countries with which we deal, Kenya, Rwanda, Egypt, and Nigeria, have asked that we propose the same development program for them. The first module of that program will look at public sector transformation in an era of climate change. You may not be excited, but I'm excited because men of Issachar are going to understand their times and will know what to do in those countries as well as mine. We pray to this end. I began my privilege of joining God at UTT 4 years ago. The university thought I was coming to develop a program in industrial innovation, entrepreneurship, and management for graduate engineers. God had other plans, and he's been rolling those out recently. We have to trust in God's leading. That nature study center is not yet. We have the land, miraculously provided by God, but nothing more. We need scientists, researchers, people who will be praying with us and for us as that rolls out. It will come. My story, however, didn't begin 4 years ago. My story began 60 years ago, and I know I look good for 60 years ago, right? The truth is, almost 60 years ago, IVCF Canada sent Stacey Woods to Jamaica to educate people being trained from the colonies. My mother happened to be one of those students who came back to Trinidad, obedient to the call, and started into varsity in Trinidad. 30 years ago, IVCF USA sent Doug and Adele Calhoun to Trinidad. They obeyed the call, came to Trinidad. I was one of the students exposed to their leadership and mentoring. And Adele said, I should go visit Austria. For a Caribbean person, that's very far. I went and I had the opportunity and privilege of meeting Francis Schaeffer himself. And the Nature Study Center, a Labrie-type ministry, was born in my heart. It still has not appeared what God would do with it. And we await his rolling out, unfolding of the ministry I believe he's purposed and is bringing forth in the Caribbean. As a doctoral student at Stanford University, I was part of the first graduate fellowship. Any graduate students in the house? Okay, good. Any international students in the house? All right, good. I was both at Stanford, and the friendships that I formed there have survived to this day. My daughter is named after a couple of my friends who loved me and cared for me while at Stanford. I was obedient. They were obedient. We're all obedient, hopefully. There's a small band of prayer warriors in Trinidad right now praying through the issues around climate change and change in the environment, the issues around the Nature Study Center, the issues around this conference and what's happening here tonight. Every one of my experiences was part of that, part of the birthing of this dream. Let's fast forward to the present or to the future. The Christian Study Center will come about when people respond, when I respond, when others respond. Sustainability, climate change and the environment is not a new issue. It's an old issue, but it will require each of us doing what we're called to do, to care for the earth, to care for the environment. Education is derived from the Latin, educo, I lead out. Nothing more succinctly describes our role in our societies today as Christian students, faculty, staff, at the institutions of higher education around the world. Prayerful action from Christian educators and researchers in all the disciplines will provide a Christian redemptive worldview to the discussions and debates that inform policy. My story is not complete, nor is yours. I pray that the Holy Spirit would motivate and inspire us to continue seeking, continue inquiring, continue informing ourselves to respond carefully and consciously and intentionally, for some of us immediately, to the questions of climate change, the environment, of following Jesus into our neighborhoods. This is an issue and a call to all of God's children. The exact nature of our involvement may not be immediately transparent to us. Some may enter this exciting field as researchers, engineers, professors, architects, some as business persons, some as husbands, fathers, mothers. Be open to God. Listen to his voice. And although it doth not yet appear, it will in time. 20,000 policymakers met in Copenhagen, left Copenhagen last week without a firm decision. The same God who called Peter and Andrew and Nathaniel lives in our neighborhoods, on our campuses, in our labs, and is calling some of us 16,000 here tonight to join him in what he's doing to redeem all of creation, to reconcile all of creation to himself. I pray that the Holy Spirit would motivate and inspire us to carefully, consciously, intentionally, with joyful obedience, follow him into those neighborhoods. Amen.